During President Obama's 6.5 years in office, rarely have we heard the kind of emotion from him that we heard over the weekend as he eulogized Vice President Joe Biden's son, Beau, who died of brain cancer.
Beau Biden brought to his work a mighty heart. He brought to his family a mighty heart. What a good man. What an original. May God bless his memory and the lives of all he touched.
The president's eulogy comes as he enters his final year and a half in office, and we wanted to talk about what might be next for him with Mark Updegrove. He's author of Second Acts, Presidential Lives and Legacies After the White House. He's director of the LBJ Presidential Library in Austin. Mark Updegrove, welcome to Here and Now.
Thanks so much for having me.
And what do you hear in that clip? Is this sort of an unplugged President Obama, somebody who's being more emotional in public? Obviously, this is a very unique event, but what are you hearing there?
No, I think you're right. There's a certain emotion that we hear in the president there that we may not have heard in his earlier presidential years. And I think it might be a function of him coming to the end of his presidency, going into the lame duck period of his tenure as president. It also, I think, the fact that he's worked for a long time with a vice president, Joe Biden, who's been loyal to him. And I think to see pain in the life of his vice president must be painful for President Obama as well.
Well, so let's talk about what is next for President Obama, what we know at this point. What do you expect from him when he leaves the White House?
My guess is that he'll have a relatively activist post-presidency in the same vein as a Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton. I think that he's going to be a relatively young man when he leaves. He'll be just 55 years old. And I think there will be a lot of very active years that he'll see in his future. He's also enormously popular, not only here in the United States, but abroad. And I think there will be ways for him to capitalize on that to further the agenda that he pursued as president. And former presidents can do that in today's world in a way that they never could before. I mean, the possibilities for a former president are greater than ever.
And he's already talked about perhaps getting more involved with his initiative, My Brother's Keeper. This is a program that is supposed to help lift young men of color out of poverty and get an education. Let's listen to him talking about that.
In too many places in this country, black boys and black men, Latino boys, Latino men, they experience being treated differently by law enforcement in stops and in arrests and in charges and incarcerations. The statistics are clear, up and down the criminal justice system.
And he says that this is going to remain a mission for him and for Michelle Obama, not just for the rest of his presidency, but for the rest of his life. Do you think that he is going to try to tackle racial issues in a way that perhaps he couldn't while he was in the White House?
I think he probably will. I think, you know, former presidents can use their post-presidential years to burnish their legacies. And President Obama's legacy is very much rooted in him being a former community activist, rising through the ranks in politics to become our first African-American president. He's going to be very conscious of that when he leaves office. And I think he can use, again, those post-presidential years to do remarkable things and not be constrained by the burdens of and the agenda then one must pick up as president of the United States. You know, you can have an agenda as president, but there are also things that fall on your desk every day that you don't anticipate. And so the great thing about being a former president is you can construct your own agenda and pursue your own activities without the burdens of the presidency sidetracking you, taking you in other directions.
And you can make a lot of money, which is something that President Clinton has done after leaving the White House. How do you think that has changed the modern presidency, the idea that you can go around and speak and make hundreds of thousands of dollars or more for a speech and get rich?
Those opportunities were always available to former presidents. I think that it was frowned upon in an earlier era. But I think Gerald Ford really changed that and in some ways is the first to really commercialize the post-presidency. He joined boards. He started going on the speaking circuit. Many criticized him for doing that. I think Gerald Ford said he was a devotee of the capitalist system. And he was just seizing opportunities to make money as any American might. So I think it depends on how you look at it. But these commercial opportunities have been available to almost all former presidents. They're just greater in number today and in value than they have been in our history.
There are other former presidents who have decided to stay in public office in some form. William Howard Taft was put on the Supreme Court. John Quincy Adams spent 18 years after he left the White House in the House of Representatives. Do you expect that President Obama will consider options like that?
Probably not. I think that those were two failed presidencies in large measure. William Howard Taft's was a one-term presidency, president, rather, as was John Quincy Adams. And I think that they left wanting to do other things. Actually, John Quincy Adams didn't want to at all. I take that back. He really wanted to go back to Quincy, Massachusetts, and enjoy a peaceful retirement, and was called back into service. I think he had the most significant part of his legacy that came to fruition as a congressman, not as president, not as secretary of state, not in any other position, but in those 18 years that you mentioned of him being a congressman. William Howard Taft never wanted to be president. He really wanted to be the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, and he got his wish after his single term in office.
We're speaking with Mark Updegrove, who is the author of Second Acts, Presidential Lives and Legacies After the White House, about what President Obama may do after he leaves the White House. And one of the things, Mark Updegrove, that I noticed is his daughter, Sasha, is going to still be in high school for a few years after the Obamas leave the White House, which makes you wonder if President Obama will stick around in Washington. And what would that be like to have another president and their security detail and everything else right in the same town as the current president? We haven't had that in a while.
No, we haven't had it since Woodrow Wilson left the presidency. And Woodrow Wilson had had a stroke in 1919. He was largely infirmed when he left the presidency. He died just a few years later. But this is nearly 100 years on, and we may well have Barack Obama in Washington, which would be very strange in so many respects, because for Obama, more than anyone else, having been the most powerful man certainly in Washington and in the world, residing in the same city where there will be a successor in the White House. That has to be a very strange feeling for Obama.
Well, the other thing that's been brought up is that the Obamas may move to New York. I mean, they might spend a few years in Washington and then move to New York. Now, this would be the second president in recent times to move to New York, a city that he has no real ties to. I mean, he was there for a very brief period. But the idea that the Clintons, who were really tied to Arkansas, moved to New York, and then the Obamas, potentially, who were tied to Chicago and Hawaii, moved to New York. What do you make of that?
Well, I talked to David Axelrod about this recently. David was at the LBJ Presidential Library on part of his book tour. And I asked him about that. And I think that from what I can glean from David, the Obamas, what appeals to the Obamas about New York is the relative anonymity they can enjoy there versus Chicago.
Well, we've been talking about President Obama here. What about the potential ambitions of Michelle Obama, who's a lawyer and has had to put that on hold while they've been in the White House?
She can do great things as well. She's done some wonderful things as First Lady. She, too, is very young. She's very popular. She's very active. My guess is so often we've seen presidents pursue things that they had a great passion for in office. For instance, Jimmy Carter, who by many accounts is our most successful former president. He left after, I think, a failed term in office, a single term from 1977 to 1981. And I think he saw an opportunity in the post-presidency to burnish his legacy in peacemaking and in human rights. And that's exactly what he did through the Carter Center, which is attached to his presidential library. It's a nonprofit organization that he uses to do some of the things that he wished he had done as president.
That's Mark Updegrove, who's the author of Second Acts, Presidential Lives and Legacies After the White House. He's also the director of the LBJ Presidential Library in Austin. Mark Updegrove, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.